There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Podcasting since 2005. You were listening to Game Attack Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Game Attack Radio, episode 547. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and this week joining us we have Pete Rock. Pete,
what's up?
I hear, man. It's been a really busy couple of days for me over here.
I hear you.
What about you?
It's been bittersweet. Like I'm anxious. Super Tuesday just passed. Unfortunately, because I am registered as an independent, I am not.
Me too.
I am not able to vote for Bernie Sanders on the primary.
Same here, okay. I'm having the same issue, man.
But if you do turn in your stuff, you won't be able. If you turn in your stuff now, you won't be able to vote for him during the primary. But you will be able to vote for him in the final election. But
yeah.
I don't want this. This isn't CNN.
No.
We're not talking politics here. Talk about video games. Yeah. And on that note, I'm very excited because by the time this show airs, I'll be in
Division.
New York City. I'll be in New York City trying to take back the city from terrorism and.
Now, my question is, can we go to the Bronx? Because I want to take you to the hood, Pete. Follow me.
Do you forget where I used to live?
I know.
I used to live in the Bronx. Come on, dude. 193rd and Creston. So, yeah, like, I know the story from everything that they've told us is going to take place mostly, if not all, in Manhattan.
My town.
The theory, and this is something I think Paris and I may have talked about on other shows, is future DLC, which we'll get to later. Or should we just wait?
Just wait until later.
Okay.
We'll save it for the show.
Division, can't wait.
And also, we forgot, Pete, we also have Patrick here. Patrick, hello.
Oh, he got him. The mute button got him.
Mute button.
The mute button got him.
Yes.
Oh, you did.
Yes.
You got me.
There you go. He's there.
Anywho's, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Not much. If we're going to get political for a second, that's weird that you guys don't have open primaries because Georgia had open primaries. So I got to vote.
That's good.
You know, living in the South, you know.
You don't
want to get too political here, but like living in the South, sometimes you literally are throwing, you know, rocks at a wall. Yeah. So whatever. It is what it is. Can't wait for November. Let everyone get their voice be heard.
Yeah, anybody listening to the show, just vote. Don't care.
Oh, yeah, just vote. Just get out there. It doesn't matter who. Just like be a part of the political process. It's your right as an American.
Yep.
I think
whatever decision you make, that also is going to either help the gaming industry or hurt the gaming industry. So make sure, there's been politicians that they were really against, you know, gaming, and there were some that support freedom of speech and all that stuff, you know. So just make the right move. That's all I'm saying.
Killer Mike said it best. People died for your right to vote. Doesn't matter. Exactly. Just go out there and make a difference. If you don't know who to vote for, vote green. You know what I mean? Green Party.
Like, yep.
Just vote for somebody. Do your God-given right and do it. All right. That's enough politics.
Enough politics. Paris is not here this week, so he probably will join us maybe Thursday. We'll see. We'll see. So for those that are listening, head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments over there and or go to play.it/gamertag. That's play.it/gamertag. And you could also listen to the show there. And you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and all other places. We're everywhere. Just subscribe and spread the word. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And I know in the previous episode I mentioned this. For those who are listening and you want to help us out, we have the survey that it will help us. We would like to know about you, how you listen to the show, where you're from, everything. Just take a 3-minute survey. It's very, very short. It's very quick. You could do this. It will help us big time. Just go to playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. And take this short survey and help GTR. The more listeners do that, the better for us. And we'll make the show even better. All right? And first off, we're going to start this because, you know, P has been kind of like, yeah, about this game. Mm-hmm. Patrick has been kind of like, we'll see. I might get it. I'm kind of curious. No Man's Sky pre-ordered. Finally, you could go and pre-order the game. This game is coming out June 21st. Very interesting day, so most likely we will see it at E3. But this game is $59.99. Are you guys okay with that?
I'm shocked. I'll be honest. I didn't expect that.
I thought it was going to be maybe $30.
Yeah, I expected a digital download game. I really did not expect a full $60 game. But, I mean, again, the amount of content I've seen in this game has been so small, and I don't want to just, like, say uninformatively that like that represents the rest of the game, like what we've seen, that's just the whole experience. I don't know that, but I kind of assumed that, to be honest, that this would be something that is more like a really interactive, cool, you know, like a tech demo of like, look what we can do with procedurally generated content. This is really neat. I'm really curious to know what the market is for this as $60. You know, is there still a large enough portion of the population out there that would pick this up for that price? And more to that point, you know, does this game actually even have an ending? Is it always just going to be you flying through space, discovering planets infinitely until you get bored and stop playing it? So I have a lot of questions about the game. I definitely want to play it. The visual style alone is enough to get me interested, let alone the concept sounds fascinating. Hell, even the box art's cool, so definitely that would get a couple of head turns at your local GameStop or Best Buy or whatever. I just don't know if $60 was the right way to go on this. And I could be wrong. I'd love to get feedback from people that are maybe probably more hyped about this than we are. Maybe they've been following the development process for this game very, you know, intently from the beginning, because you've been excited about this. You know, we were definitely excited when it first came out, but I guess it's been so long now, we've kind of just like lost interest here and there and there. But now that we got a release date, now that we definitely know we're going to see DD3, my excitement's back again. I definitely want to play it. I'm just really curious, you know, what the reception is going to be for a game that is so atypical in this style, but also still charging that $60 premium. So I'm very curious to know what their market is, what the focus research they've done, what their focus groups have told them, what made them come to this decision to release in the summer at $60 in a game of this style. So it remains to be seen, but I'm looking forward to it, I gotta say. I want to play this.
For those that are planning to get the game and knows more about this, let me know why I should buy this game, because I was very curious at first, but now I'm like, I don't know. I prefer to play other games like Uncharted and so on. You know, I don't know.
But we'll be done with Uncharted by then, let's be honest. Like, I don't know really know what else is coming out in June anyways. Usually June is kind of like a blank space of game content just because, you know, it's that E3 season. But go ahead.
No, here's the thing, though. We really don't have an idea what else is coming out because you never know. E3 or maybe they will have like some surprises from near now till the summer. So who knows?
But surprises like that usually come in the form of a beta or a playable demo of some sort, not full game releases that are surprise launches.
No. I'm talking about more like digital games, like, you know, some cool digital games. There's some out there.
Nothing on the system, but not of a $60 caliber like this.
And nothing on a scale of a game like that. So it's really hard to throw out a competition type game that may be some smaller indie type game and then compare it or put it in the same sales space as a No Man's Sky, which has had, I don't know, I'd probably say a rocky marketing campaign from day one because it's really, really hard to pigeonhole it into a game type. I'm still I'm in the same vein as Pasta, and I feel it's very, very difficult to pay $60 for Google Sky Maps.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see myself playing for a long time.
If they can get away with it, congratulations. Yeah. In all honesty, this for me would be perfect for a PlayStation VR, Oculus.
Yeah, absolutely. For Project Morpheus, this would be a no-brainer. This is one of the first things I would try if I had a Morpheus. But not having one, the excitement is not nearly as there. The excitement is there because I am a hardcore gamer and I do like following interesting new trends and divisions in the norm of gaming. So like I'm already on board because of that. But if I was an average consumer with my $60, they would really have to sell me on this. And this seems like a very strong word of mouth game. I'm sure it'll be, I'm going to assume this is going to be a critical darling just because of the nature of this type of game, unless for some reason it just like falls completely flat on its face gameplay wise. But the ambition seems like it'll be well received. But will that translate into sales, though? I do not know.
Yeah, great question on that. All right, but another thing, too, once again, Uncharted 4 delayed to May 10th. The more I hear about things like this, the more I'm a little bit worried. Like, why are there... Yes, I mean,
this is a very big game for them. You don't think this is...
No, don't get me wrong. I'm excited for this game. I am buying this game day one. I don't know, man. I love the trailer. Trailer looks awesome. But this whole process of them working on this game has been kind of like a mess.
Did you read the follow-up, though, on to why it's being delayed?
Why it's been delayed,
okay.
Pete?
So, according to Sony and according to Sean Layden, president and CEO of SEEA, they said that they're postponing the delay to allow for extra manufacturing time to be able to meet the considerable worldwide demand for gamers around the world.
I'm going digital, so I don't care about...
Okay, but not everybody has that luxury. Not everybody has the money to buy an extra storage unit. Not everybody has the bandwidth or the download speed to be able to do something. This is not going to be a 25 gig download.
No, it's going to be 50 plus, 60 maybe.
Exactly. Not many people have the luxury of super fast internet to do something like this and be able to play day one.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about me, myself, and I.
Okay, but... You are you, and nobody cares about you.
I know there's other people out there that would like to get physical copies. That's fine. More power to you. Look, just today, you know, on Facebook, they'll show pictures of, like, on this day, you see pictures from, like, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So one of my old pictures was that they show up today. It was a bunch of games. Basically, the beginning of my gaming collection. I was looking at it today. I was like, oh my God. Thank God I'm going digital for this generation. Put it this way. I had to rent the storage. That's how much crap I have.
Okay. So question is,
yes,
do you still have that mass amount of plastic and containers all over your house of games?
I have it in boxes.
Okay. Why?
Why? Because I've been giving it to my nephews and nieces, like some of the games. Some of them are like way too old, it's too much for them. So I don't want to give it to them. Some I've just been keeping it for me. And if I eventually want to play it again, I've been playing like old games here and there. But I've been giving away a lot of games lately, a lot. my family. That's why. Why, you have beef, Pete?
No, not at all. You got a lot of attitude today on the show, man. Like, we don't have to throw hands at some point, it looks like. Jesus.
No.
I'm just trying to say. I mean, that's the reason why they're delaying it. Is that marketing speak or PR speak to try to allay the fears of gamers around the world that have been anxiously awaiting the next iteration from Naughty Dog? Possibly. Who knows? The game has already allegedly gone to Sony and should be wrapping up and going gold by the end of the month. So it's not like they're doing any additional development last minute. They might be doing day one patchwork. But, you know, as far as they're concerned, as far as Naughty Dog's concerned, is they've already shipped the game to the manufacturers. They're just printing up bleep ton of boxes and containers and games to get it, you know, to get into the hands of other people. So
that game is going to sell like crazy for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Now I'm just want to play the single player. I really don't care much about the multiplayer. Same thing with the first Tomb Raider. Like, I completely ignore the multiplayer. I didn't care about that. But the story is where it's at, man. Story is where it's at. I want this to be better than part 3. 3, I was very disappointed with the story. 2 was the classic. That's like the best of all of them. So we'll see. We'll see. But Pete, there was also another game that was delayed, which I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Miss Cleo is not here today. But
That's right. It was a little birdie that told him.
Well, a little birdie told.
Yeah, a little birdie did tell Paris, and we're going to steal his shine now.
Yes.
Mass Effect Andromeda delayed to the first quarter of 2017.
I think this game is going to come out spring of 2017. So most likely maybe
that's first
March,
quarter,
Danny. April.
Way to come out, you know, way to come down the mountain with the tablets there.
I know, no. I'm just saying that I know. I know it's first quarter. I'm just saying, my guess, like the month, I believe maybe between March or April. There's really nothing around that time, I think, for now. When is coming out Mass Effect? Not Mass Effect, Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge, I don't even know. Do they have a release?
Is that May, right? I think May.
I don't know if they've got a release date for that.
They do have a release date. They do have a release date for that. Anyways, I think around that time. So, Posse, my question is, are you okay about this delay to 2017? I think, to me, I'm okay with it. You know, I'm okay because Mass Effect, I want this game to be perfect. But if I see multiple delays, I'll be like, what's going on, man? There's major changes or what? You know, but your thoughts?
No issue, honestly. I think we'll have plenty of games to play by the end of the year. And certainly true. Something of this scale, again, we don't really know what the scale of the game is, but it really is claiming to be an entire galaxy, the Andromeda galaxy, our neighboring galaxy, the Milky Way. That's quite ambitious, let's be honest. So I don't know if that means that this is the start of a new trilogy, and that this one game is going to somehow encompass that immense scale. There's a lot of questions here. I really would like to give them all the time necessary, because I feel like one of the major shortcomings of the Mass Effect series was they never could really figure out what they wanted to do with planet exploration. Because remember, Mass Effect 1, you had the Mako, and you kind of moon jumped around planets. And the second one, you literally just scanned planets from orbits, get resources. And it just seems like it was all over the place. So I'm curious to know like what the transportation system is going to be like, how I navigate the stars, what the combat's going to be like. So there's a lot of factors there, the voice acting, the story, the narrative, the multiple branching choices, all that, you know, good stuff in RPG.
Co-op,
you know, hopefully multiplayer returns. There's a lot of things there I want. And I'm in no hurry to play this. I mean, I still have a bad taste in my mouth from Mass Effect 3, so I'm not really clamoring for this game just yet. But when it comes out, I know I really want to play it. But in the meantime, I'm much more looking forward to a lot of other games on the horizon right now, you know, that are not going to be, you know, 200-hour RPGs. You know, we're going to have a lot of games this year that are going to be, you know, varying in length from, you know, your typical 8-hour action game to dozens and dozens of hours for JRPGs and Western RPGs. So I think we're covered for this year. So next year, I think, you know, it's perfect for them. They'll come out probably in March 2017. They'll have that whole month to themselves, essentially, and sell like a crap ton of copies. Because you think by then, everyone's going to have a PS4 or an Xbox One or a gaming computer that wants one at that point. Because I think by early 2017, you've just pretty much made that choice for yourself. Either you've aligned yourself with one of the two major consoles, you know, you're going with whatever the NX is going to be from Nintendo, or you decide to be like, hey, whatever, I'm going to buy a gaming PC. I'm going to build one. I want to get into that side of gaming. So I think by then everyone's covered. So Mass Effect will sell very well. I don't think there'll be that many people that will still be waiting until Mass Effect 4 to be like, okay, now I want a next-gen console. Now, it's pretty hard for me to believe that with a lot of all these games coming out this year to hold us over. So for me, it's fine. No hurry at all for me.
And Danny, you were asking about Mirror's Edge. It actually comes out right before E3 this year. I think the only other game for beginnings, maybe first half, would be Scalebound.
Scalebound, okay. Well, I know they're saying that, EA's CFO said that Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 5 will release before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I find that, don't get me wrong, I'm happy about Titanfall. I'm just finding it weird that two first-person shooters from EA is releasing the same year and around the same time.
Well, Battlefield's always going to have that every year response. The good thing is that Titanfall took the year off. Let it focus on building more story and more game around the original. Mm-hmm. And hopefully is moving forward with the title. Great game. It is odd that they're releasing contenders.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like having weird. Nick and Nate Diaz fight each other in the UFC. It kind of wouldn't make sense.
Like, I see Mass Effect coming out, like, let's say November, and Battlefield October. Two different games. I get it. But Titanfall 2 and Battlefield, same time frame, like around the same time frame, holiday.
They cannibalize their market. I mean, it's just not smart. It's not a sound investment decision. And it's, I mean, not to be mean to Titanfall fans, but that's sending the game out to die. It's just not going to compete.
Not necessarily. It's not like he said they're both coming out in December. He said before
they're
Christmas.
They're both coming out holiday season. That's pretty much putting them right in each other's throats.
But let's say you put Titanfall 2 September, October, you put Battlefield, November, December.
Yeah.
You're getting a 2-month head start on each other. So while it is technically within the same release quarter, you're giving them each success. It's not like you're throwing them to the wolves like Microsoft did with Tomb Raider. Sorry, I had to go there.
Well, I you know what would be good too? If they, let's say, release Battlefield 5 first. Whoever pre-ordered the Battlefield 5 also could try Titanfall 2 beta or something
that
like
work.
That. Like, that will work and maybe promote the game. And at the same time, there's going to be a lot of gamers that were curious about Titanfall because it only came out on the Xbox One. Mm. But now that they have a PlayStation 4, most likely they're going to go and support that version, you know?
I guess the real question is what is the single-player component going to be of Titanfall 2 and Battlefield? Because Titanfall didn't have one, and Battlefield single-player campaigns have been a joke the last two games. So,
hey, Hardline wasn't bad.
Oh, sorry. I meant 3 and 4. Sorry. Hardline was enjoyable.
Thank you.
I won't knock Hardline. Sorry.
Yeah, I never played the Hardline. Was it
Hardline
good?
Was a
it
really
was
good game.
It was like a
we both
show.
Agreed.
We enjoyed
solid single-player.
Yeah, solid. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, whenever you can... What is the couch thing when you could take off on a couch?
You could drive the couch, yeah.
Oh my god, it's so stupid. It's fun. Well,
speaking about drive, you know, for those that are listening to the show, I think this is a great way for you guys to make some extra income. Mm. And put it this way, I know a lot of people, not only from my family, but also friends, they right now are working for Uber. So look, for those out there, drive with Uber. And it's easy. Go get your Uber smart app phone, and this is a way for riders to connect with drivers, and this will help you to make some extra income, and it's easy by driving your own car, and it's totally flexible. And Pete, like you have a pretty good job. You don't have to quit your day job. You could do this on the side, maybe on the weekends, whenever you want.
And actually, it's something that's actually crossed my mind on occasion. While I do side work. I hate saying yes. do like side by side. Anyways, well, I have been known to do side work within my technology field. It's always been something that I've been interested in. I've actually got a friend of mine who actually does this part time. I mean, and it's not like you have to work a 9-to-5. You don't have a boss to answer to. It's you are your own boss. You work the hours you want to work.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to keep your day job and just do this on the weekends, you're driving around the weekends anyways, pick somebody up and make some cash.
Yeah. It's easy. Turn on the app and just drive. That's it. And just pick your hours and you go from there. And it's super, super easy. So look, this is how you get started. Go to drivewithuber.com and sign up. And it's totally free. You could do it right now while listening to the podcast. Just do it from your phone.
Just not while driving.
That what, Pete?
Just not while driving.
Not while driving. And answer a few basic questions about you and your car. And then from there, you get approved. And it's super easy. And that's it. And you start driving from there. So remember, make extra cash on your own schedule. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Once again, for those who are listening, drivewithuber.com. And I use Uber all the time. So maybe you will meet me in the future. Go for it. All right. So, Pete, you're excited. The Division is coming out. Lots to talk Can't about wait. The Division. Woo. Everybody's talking about it. Now, here's a very quick, and I know Pete wants to talk about some stuff, some extra content coming out throughout the year. Mm-hmm. But I know people are waiting for reviews of The Division. It's going to be similar to what happened with Destiny. Everybody, the media, and also the gamers, everybody's going to get the game, and the servers are going to go live, and everybody's going to have that same experience at the same time, instead of the media getting it first, which I think is great for all of us to do that at the same time. So don't expect from us to review the game that quickly. I think maybe a week or two, Pete, right? You think that would be great?
I think that's probably a solid enough time. I think we're all still wrapping up or putting in extra time on Far Cry Primal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, Plants vs. Zombies. Plants vs. Zombies, yeah, too. We got to review that. Garden Warfare 2.
But yeah, they're doing this because it's really hard for them to fill up servers for the PvE experience and give reviewers a really good look at what the game is, represents from a post-launch standpoint. It's easy. It's kind of easy to do based on what, they released on the alpha and the beta, but they said that they've tamed down significantly the content for the alpha and the beta. So you can imagine there's going to be that much more to do within the alpha.
Yes.
If you purchase the digital copy, you can actually start preloading it today. Actually, today is Thursday, March the 3rd. For Xbox,
this comes the day before the launch.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
And then March 6th, obviously, those that are listening, it's hopefully already preloaded on your console. Japan will start preloading actually the day the show actually launches, okay. And then the digital copies will actually unlock at 12:01 Eastern in the morning. I can't wait. I'm super excited. And on top of that, Ubisoft released some more information about year one content and their season pass. So this is one of the things that people like Paris were kind of hesitant going into The Division, where he was almost deciding whether he was going to play it or not. I think on our internal chats, he was talking about he had backed out. He was done. He didn't want to even bother. But the season pass and all the year one DLC lines up pretty significantly for the title. There's two free updates that'll come out in April and May, including an end game, aka a raid. So you'll have a bigger, a big squad play PvE experience. And then the incursion update brings in loot trading, which is something that was always kind of like a mystery, will we be able, it's something that was really popular in a game like Diablo 3, but was frowned upon in a game like Destiny. So it's going to be interesting to see how they roll that out. So people in the same squad can trade loot, but not like people across the game. Like if Danny's playing on his own instance with his own friends, and I'm playing with Paris and Poston, because we don't want to play with Danny because he's garbage. we can trade loot between us in the squad, but not with Danny or whoever else is out in the world playing. So it's only within that co-op game session.
I think that's awesome.
That's actually a really cool, fresh idea.
It prevents people from cheating. I mean,
absolutely.
Sense. Yeah.
After that, they'll also release more Dark Zone features and events, gameplay within the Dark Zone, as well as another incursion game, you know, for the PvE experience. And then for the season pass owners or for people who have the Gold or Collector's Edition of the game, you can get, there's three paid expansions, which will come out June, and then there's one slated for later in the summer and one in the winter. So
they're set for the whole year, dude.
That's a lot of content on top of the regular standard PvE experience and the Dark Zone multiplayer. So
that was very smart for them to announce this, because they learned the mistakes that Bungie did.
Yeah, I think so. I think Destiny. And I think it is fair to say that they used a game like Destiny as the guinea pig. See what they did, capitalize on their mistakes, and they answered the question that everybody has been posing: what is the game going to do besides what they've experienced? And again, it's a lighter experience as to what you've been playing on the alpha and the beta. And if you were if that is what you thought was going to be the final end game, you're sadly mistaken, because it looks like they've really, really came to play this time. Like, Ubisoft was like, all right, that's it. Like, we're sick of being the punching bag for shooters. And I think you could hear it with the amount of talking that I've done so far on the show about the game. I'm stoked. I can't wait. Khalif, Stubby, you know I'm gonna be there. Holler at your boy. Paris, let's do this.
Let's do this. Well, I'm going to be playing too, Pete.
Nah. No, but we should most definitely get up like a GTR night.
Yes.
You know, maybe do some GTR streaming, throw it up on the Twitches, yes, and yeah, do some PvE, PvP gameplay. I think, you know, if we line up a night or two, I'm down with it. I don't know, no. Poston, how about you?
No, yeah, I mean, actually, I mean, like, as I said previously, I touched a little bit of the beta, decided that, you know, I'm going to wait for the little experience. I can see the potential here. But no, Pete, every time I listen to you talk about the game, it gets me more excited about it, because, like, this is why I love Tom Clancy games, is the team-based combat. And, you know, in an RPG, you know, usually you're playing by yourself in a lot of instances. So for me, I was so hesitant for so long about this game because it's an RPG, but now thinking about the cooperative aspect, the PvP aspect, the whole concept of the Dark Zone, which I haven't even played yet, but just seeing other people play that, reading about it, sounds very interesting. This whole year of content, yeah, I'm on board. I mean, this looks like it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I've been playing a lot of single player games recently too, so it's been exciting to, you know, play a co-op game with you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm excited because, look, I haven't even touched the beta, so this is going to be like a totally brand new experience for me. Yeah,
so you've never... short of watching me play at E3 last year and then maybe a scattered video or two, you've never played the game?
Nope.
Wow.
Actually, I was on the other side, Pete. Like, I wasn't near you when you were playing.
Okay.
I was just watching somebody else play.
But you've seen gameplay.
Yeah, I've seen gameplay. Okay. I've seen gameplay. So, but this is going to be totally new to me. First time playing it. I didn't want to touch the beta because beta, in a way, kills the game. I don't want to go back and be like, oh, I already played this part, let me get, you know, I want to be surprised. So it's going to be a totally brand new experience for me.
Cool. I can't wait. Hopefully, yeah, hopefully we actually all four get to play, unlike what we thought was going to happen with Halo, and then I still haven't touched it.
All right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Let's talk about this very quick. There's a rumor, which we've been talking about this for months. Months. Nintendo NX might release this year, and Zelda that was supposed to come out for the Wii U is also coming out for the NX. Thoughts? Because this is a rumor, ladies and gentlemen. It's not official.
But I've been saying this for a while, you guys. Like, there's same no way here. This is not going to happen. This is a no-brainer. Like, this is for everybody that's like me. That's when we never wanted to buy a Wii U. It just never lined up in the stars for us. But we're still diehard Zelda fans, so we have to play Zelda.
I've never played
Zelda. So this is
now.
This is,
let me ask you this: Will you buy the NX day one for this game?
Yes, honestly. Now that is that is under the pretense, Danny, that the NX is not announced as some stupidly bizarre Wii U 2 requires a peripheral to work, requires a tablet, requires a 3DS, like all this Nintendo nonsense we've dealt with for a decade. If it just goes back to being a dedicated game system like the Super Nintendo, the N64, and the GameCube, then I am all on board. Because if I can have 1080p, 60fps Nintendo games, that's all I want. That's all I've wanted for
a long
time.
Even if it's 900p?
No, no. 1080p. It is 2016, Nintendo. You have enough money to afford proper GPUs, processors, and RAMs. 1080p, 60fps. I will accept nothing less than that. You have to at least be the same standards of your competitors.
But there are certain games on Xbox's 900p and also PlayStation. I have
already spoken in length about my concerns for the future of Xbox One, and I will let those sit and stand. But Nintendo has had enough time from the Wii U to be like, let's just throw this away and restart. And I'm sorry if you bought a Wii U and if you love it. It's a fun system. I acknowledge that. It's just not for me. I want to see what the NX is. But yes, to answer your original point, Danny, yes, this would get me to buy an NX day one just for Zelda. Because Zelda looks amazing. Again, we've only seen a little bit of it, but an open world Zelda with this new visual art style at that level of fidelity, frame rate, and graphical quality, I mean, that looks incredibly good, especially after the bad taste in my mouth that is still Skyward Sword.
What about a person like me who still hasn't played a Zelda game?
I think this might be a good starting point, honestly. I mean, it looks like it's kind of like the combination of what Ocarina of Time got right, what Twilight Princess got right, and, you know, obviously they're probably taking a lot of other cues from a lot of other popular games, because Zelda has always been a long development title. I refuse to believe that Nintendo makes games in a bubble over in Japan. I know they're looking at what the competitors are doing. I know they're going to take influences from other games and properties to make Zelda a more immersive, larger, open, greater experience, because, like, I mean, even... You know, Anuma, the director of Zelda, acknowledges that it's gotten kind of formulaic over the years. You know, the Zelda formula used to be gold, but now we almost kind of roll our eyes when it becomes so cookie cutter. So I think this is their opportunity to just do something different with Zelda, like what Wind Waker did. Because for me, Wind Waker is the best Zelda, in my opinion, because of just how vastly different it was and how timeless it is, because it went with an art style that aged flawlessly. The Wind Waker port on Wii U is proof of that. Of a game can look that good even by today's modern standards. So I think with this new art style that they're going with, looks like a combination of Twilight Princess' more serious dark tone and Skyward Sword's brighter pastel colors, this is going to be a technology for them that's going to stick, it's going to be eye-popping, it's going to draw people in, and I imagine they're large, open, majestic world for you to explore, cool combat system. You know, they have these hints of like steampunk era technology, so it's going to be a little more industrial this time with the items and weapons you have. So I'm very excited for the potential of this game. So I think this is definitely a killer app. I think this honestly could be the killer app for holiday this year.
For this year.
Yes.
So that's not all, but Nintendo's got more up their sleeve. They're talking about a potential...
Well, not Nintendo. It's a rumor.
I know. It's a Nintendo rumor. It still hasn't been confirmed. But the person who did reveal these rumors is the same person who successfully leaked the Pokemon stuff and Microsoft's Illumi Room project. They got to change that name. That's a bad name. You can't even pronounce it right. Okay. But rumor is that Nintendo might have an exclusive for Beyond Good and Evil, the sequel, similar to what they did with Bayonetta 2.
That's huge. If they really can get Michael Ancel to drag himself away from Wild to do that, that would be huge. Now, again, this is assuming that Michael Ancel is involved, because I feel like if it's not Michael Ancel, is it really Beyond Good and Evil 2? Is that them just abusing a name?
Well, there's a Devs Play video that has him and Tim Schafer playing Beyond Good and Evil, and they kept dropping Miyamoto's name.
So you have an horrible story to tell about this part of the game.
A horrible story?
Horrible.
Oh, no, please.
It was the first time I met Mr. Miyamoto.
Oh, yeah?
From Nintendo, and we did a presentation of that part.
Why were you presenting to Miyamoto?
It was during E3, mm-hmm. and I think Ubisoft maybe wanted to make a deal for a Nintendo console for that game, and so I just met Mr. Miyamoto and Mr. Iwata mm-hmm. for the first time. I was like that, you know, mm-hmm. interesting. Mm-hmm. and they just hated this, everything.
What?
They just, for them it was horrible, the background, the control, the everything was like the camera.
They said that?
Everything.
How did you?
And then I became nervous and start responding them, and it's and the
How are they expressing crazy. That they hate it? Because I can't imagine any interview I've seen that Miyamoto would be like, I hate this, I don't like
this. Yeah, it's bad. Like, look at, they told me to look at Mario Sunshine, because Mario Sunshine was on the floor. Mm-hmm. Look at Mario Sunshine's camera, and look at this, and you have to learn, and you... I understand that. I think that these guys are, you know, very talented people.
Yeah.
But I think that... I'm not sure they wanted this meeting to happen or whatever. It was a weird European developer game with these environments, and they pick up the hovercraft, tried to go on the mountains, but you know, it was not possible to explore that part, so they were like disappointed that they couldn't do that. And
they hated the texture?
They hated everything.
Well, that's funny.
Except the relationship with Paige during the fight, because he can help you. And they said that there was the only positive part was the mechanism between the two characters during the fight. But I was so happy to meet all these people that I really loved.
I would have been destroyed.
And then in like 5 minutes, it was a mess. I was red, like I wanted to get out and cry. No, this is not possible. We put too much patience on that game, too much time, like 3 years working like hell.
I can't wait to show this to Miyamoto. He's going to love it. I can't wait to show it to him.
In the discussion of a potential sequel.
Okay. I know that series you're talking about. I saw the one where he did that with Rayman 2 with Tim and Michael, but I did not see the one for Beyond Good and Evil.
Right.
That's interesting, though. I would love it if they would give him the opportunity to make that game, because I know he's dying to make that game.
Because let me tell you, look, we've been hearing this for years, right, Patrick?
Yeah.
Every time we go to E3, they might show it this year, they might show it. And it's been like that for like 3, 4, maybe 5 years
already. The CGI trailer all went like, oh my God, look at that trailer. And then there was that leaked pre-alpha gameplay, like, oh, look at that pre-alpha gameplay. And then nothing. Silence. You know, almost Last Guardian levels of just silence. At least we know Last Guardian exists. Beyond Good and Evil 2, I have no idea what the status of that is.
Imagine they could pull that off for NX exclusive 2017.
Huge.
Mic drop. There's a lot of people that
that's
really
what they need. You know what they need to do? They need to go hit up Kojima, too, and get Kojima to make a game for the NX. They need to go find every single visionary game director and game creator out there on the planet and bring them into the NX program immediately, because that is how you sell a hardcore gaming system. You bring in literally the best of the best developers from around the world, you know, away from their usual, probably, you know, contractually obligated games they have to make, and give them the intellectual freedom to make what they want. Because people that would buy an NX would automatically be receptive to those kinds of experiences, you know, seeing those names like Tim Schafer. What if he made Psychonauts 2 just for the Nintendo NX? Like, that would be huge. Like, there's a lot of people they could reach out to.
That would be the game that would get me to buy it first day.
Really?
Psychonauts. Psychonauts was a nuts job game. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with this? Like, Nintendo, please hit up these developers.
Here's the thing. I'm wondering how... is Nintendo going to have an official press conference? Enough of this video
stuff.
They
have to. They cannot announce this with a Nintendo Direct.
They
that would
can't.
Be so
they can't,
stupid. Because
that's great for the hardcore
that's
fans.
That's fine for game announcements.
But like the regular average person, the average person that just watch TV and they watch CNN and MSNBC and Fox News, and they see like E3 during the week of E3 on the news. Oh yeah, Nintendo announced. They're not going to show Nintendo Direct. Nope. They're going to show the actual press conference. It looks more legit and it's great for those like investors and retailers that can start hyping it up, you know. And I know for a fact, if they do release this console this year, they're going to put millions and millions of dollars for marketing, man.
Absolutely.
They have to. So, but speaking of E3, it's not looking good for E3, man. I don't know. Every day I hear some news about another company not being there. Activision, which also has one of the biggest booths over there at E3, they're not gonna have a booth. They're gonna depend on their partners for example, Sony, for them to show their games that's coming out for maybe the holidays and next year during their press conference. And maybe they will have like a small meeting room for the media that could check out like the games and stuff behind the scenes and stuff. But
so that's, man, EA and Activision without a major presence.
Kind of a big deal.
How do you walk into that South Hall and not have so those empty, two massive booths throwing sound and light and colors at your face? Like, how?
That's a lot of space.
Odd.
That's a lot of space, dude. A lot of space. That's gonna. Oh my god. I don't know, man. I'm a little worried about that, man. No Activision, no EA. They need to make changes, man.
Yeah.
Have this public at least a day or two. To the open to the public and have the rest for like media. They need to make changes, man. Yeah.
I can only hope that that extra floor space will go to Oculus Rift, Morpheus, and Vive, because that's really what I actually care about this year at E3, is how far VR has come now. I'm excited for games. Get me wrong. I'm super excited for the NX, definitely. But I really want to try more VR, because this probably might be the year where we have to start proving to the average consumer that, hey, you might want to try this. This is kind of a big deal. And, you know, as Paris mentioned before, he wasn't on board until he tried it. Can you imagine how the average non-hardcore gamer feels about that? I mean, they probably think of it as a joke, because you really don't know until you try it. That's the beauty of it. But, like, you know, it's kind of hard to be in an event, be invited to an event, be in an area with that's present. It's just not feasible for a lot of people. And I really hope that they can start making this stuff more available to the public, because this is not something people are going to pick up unless they try it. Simple as that. So, I mean, I kind of hope that's a bigger presence at E3 this year.
Oof. Pete, anything else from that?
No.
Before we...
Is there anything else to talk about?
Are you worried? Because this is Activision, dude. We used to go there every year to their booth, man.
If every they do year. The same thing similar to what EA is going to be doing...
They're not going to do that.
Focus their energy on one-on-ones or dedicated interactions versus, I mean, you have to imagine these are massively multi-million dollar organizations. The amount of money, time, and resources that goes into setting up one of those booths is a minimum. Like, I'm sure that by the time E3 2015 was over, 2 or 3 months later, they were already in development for what they were going to do the following year. So while some might see this as a cost cutting maneuver, this, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know if Activision is going to go so far as to go and do like an EA Plays type thing that, you know, what EA is doing with, you know, with the consumer in mind. It'll be interesting to see. Again, it's going to be weird walking into that South Hall, and like, what are they going to cover up all that extra space that's no longer going to be taken up with those two massive giants?
Guys, put it this way, for the listeners out there that have never been to E3, every time we go inside, you know which one is the loudest booth out of all the booths?
EA.
EA. That place is going to be silence.
Well, last year it was EA right up front, and Activision was like kind of near the back, on, you know, often shuttled off to the left. Those are massive amounts of space. We're talking, it's kind of hard to imagine. It's almost like a car dealership, but without the cars.
But this is going to be great for companies like Ubisoft and maybe 2K and.
Especially indie developers, they can a bit more room to shine.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. It's companies like Firaxis that have to piggyback on the 2K, show floor. Maybe they get more space now. You know, I'm not saying 2K and Firaxis is going to have a space there because, you know, their game just came out. But I'm just using them as an example because it was the first name that came up, and actually they were right next to the EA booth with 2K. But yeah, this lines up the potential for maybe more indie developers getting their faces and getting their wares out, and hopefully it's less, you know, like less bad hardware from other countries taking up valuable real estate space.
I will say this, though, Pete. this is going to be a very, very interesting E3.
Mm-hmm. Most
it's going to be weird. I know we will get used to it like after the first day, but it's going to be a very E3, man. A very weird, strange E3.
It's going to be an awkward E3.
It is, because it's just the changes, you know, with EA having that open event, which I think is great, but then not having a booth there. I don't know. It's just, and who knows? We might hear other announcements from now till June of other companies doing part of the same exact thing. So my advice, open to the public. I think that's the solution. It's dying. Right now, they don't need the media. They just could use YouTube, Twitch, maybe some podcasts to get their content out there, get the fans. And, you know, it's just a very strange time right now. So, but anyways, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, and share with your friends. You could also check us out at play.it/gamertag. And we're there. You can share it to your friends. And also subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. Speaking of Stitcher, shout out to them. They put us on the front page a couple of days ago. And also Spotify, too. They feature us during the week of our birthday, which is great. And once again, for those who are listening, you know, we need your help. Please take this very, very short survey. This will help us get an idea where you're listening and so on. It's a very short survey. It only takes like maybe 3 minutes. So it will help us big time. So go to playitsurvey.com. That's playitsurvey.com. And make it happen and help GTR big time. And also give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And I believe, Pete, I think next week we should review Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 2. I've been playing that nonstop. Love that game. So I'm going to be reviewing it. If you want to join me, could we have the game?
No, absolutely. I'd like to maybe do a review with Poston for Far Cry Primal.
Yeah, definitely. Ooh.
I've been putting a lot of time into that, and I know on the last one I started to get my feet wet, and I know me and Poston talked about it on when we reviewed it last year. So I think it'd be pretty cool to see, you know, my growing up.
Yes.
And my appreciation for Far Cry. Jesus, this is like the month of Ubisoft.
Yeah, it is.
Shout out to them, dude. They're starting off 2016 strong. Good job.
And it might be the year. Who knows? Might be the year. They have more games coming out this year. So, Ghost Recon next year, right, Patrick?
Definitely next year. Yeah, we'll probably have a big presence this year at E3. We'll probably see it in a more beta aspect. But yeah, be ready for that one. That, to me, was still one of the most amazing games I've ever seen in person. So, yeah, I'm excited for The Division. But holy crap, you just wait until Ghost Recon comes out next year.
Yeah.
Woo!
Crazy. It's, before we wrap it up, it's crazy. Last year, when Patrick got to see the game, he was like, too many numbers on top. I don't know. And now it's growing on him through time.
I've had a turbulent history with this game ever since it was announced. So we'll finally see. Maybe we can definitely talk about it next week once we've actually got our hands on it. We'll certainly review it as well. But yeah, I'm excited to play with you guys, man. Looking forward to it.
I'm excited too, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Until next time, see you this Thursday, which we're going to be doing fan mail. We haven't done fan mail like in a week or so, but we have lots of emails. So please continue to send emails. We're reading on the show, and that's going to be fun. All right, and also call us. All right, see you this Thursday. We're out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.